Today is part two of our Inyanei Drush for Yom Tov of Shavuos. I want to discuss again a few more ideas about Yom Tov of Shavuos. The first idea is a short, very simple idea. I want to go back to something we discussed on Pesach. Pesach, we discussed the idea that the Korban Pesach, thank you very much, thanks. We discussed the idea of the Korban Pesach and the matzos in, to a certain degree, in one way of looking at it, is a Korban Todah. The child of the Seder, who asked the Manishtana, the question, Manishtana halayla zemichol halayla shebichol halayla osonuach limchonei tzu matzah. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. So we discuss then, what does it mean that the shebichol halaylos, all laylos, we eat chometz and matzah? Not necessarily true. Either eat chometz or matzah. Chometz or matzah. How many times you come to a meal, we have both. You have one, there's one form of bread. It's either you can eat matzah, eat matzah. You go to shal shudas. A lot of people, you see, they have matzah and they have bulkalach. So most people, either you take a bulka or you take matzah. Not everyone takes both. So what does it mean that the child is asking chometz umatzah, both? So we explained then that there are four reasons why a person brings a korban todah. If he was ill, if he was in prison, if he travels over the sea and he travels in the desert. All of these four events, occurred for the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. Remember when they were in the desert, they traveled in the desert for 40 years, they went out to the desert, they crossed the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, they were ill, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, it says, Kol Machla Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim Loi Osim Melech Ki Ani Asher Moifecha, and the fourth base loss to him is the obvious one. We were imprisoned in Egypt for 210 years. We were locked up in jail. We were slaves in Egypt for 210 years. So our freedom from Mitzrayim requires us to bring a Korban Todah. And a Korban Todah has 40 breads. 30 breads are matzah, chalois, rekikin, and revucha, three different types of matzos. And there are 10 breads of chometz. So the question, the child is, every time a person is in the state of laila, shebechol haleilois, every situation where a child finds himself, a person finds himself in a time of darkness, a time of tzara, he brings a korban todah. And the korban todah is accompanied by 40 types of bread. And of the bread there is chometz and matzah. But halayla hazeh, tonight we have the carbon. We have a carbon toida. We have the carbon pesach. The carbon pesach, to a certain degree, is like a carbon toida. It's our carbon of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we also have the matzah. We have matzos. And we have a minig. Most of us have a minig. And some, a lot of the darshan explain that's why this minig. We have a minig. Now we have three matzos. Teneg the koyein, the levi, and the yisrael. Those are we represent the three different types of matzos that accompany a korban todah. But where is the chometz? Where tonight, the night of Pesach, is the chometz? Halayla hazeh kuloi matzah. If we are bringing a korban todah, al matzah is smurodim yochluhu, you're bringing tonight a korban todah to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim and the four different things, the four different parts of the miracle, we should also have to bring chometz. So we discussed in the Jewish, and the Jewish we discussed that. Kitzur Nimrod, it says that every time a person is safe from Mitzara, the person also, you have to give a little shtickle to the Yetzirah. Like we said, a person, Rachman al-Slan, is sick, and he has surgery, he has some type of medical procedure, so what does he come? He makes a Kiddush. He makes a very big simcha, and he comes and he said, I had the best doctor. The reason why I survived, I had the best advice, the best doctor, the best lawyer, the best. But it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brought about this event, that brought about your salvation. So the answer is, you have to satisfy the sitra ach. You got to throw him a bone. Chometz is the Yetzahara, the Sar Shabisa. Every time a person is spared from a Tzara, you have to give a little acknowledgement. You have to satisfy the Eitz Sod with a little bit of chametz. But Ruba de Ruba, you mak your toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yiben Shkoymol, that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has performed this salvation. That was, but when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ani v'loi malach, ani v'loi shaliach, ani v'loi sarf, Yitzias Mitzrayim is given kuloi matzah. When it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, a person has to fully recognize there was no doctor, there was no lawyer, there was no one there other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The carbon toida of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a toida, a carbon that is accompanied by only matzah. There is no chametz. That's what we said Pesach. Now I want to just take this idea. I saw this idea in a sefer called Higyonei Halacha. I'm sure you're very familiar. It's a very popular set of svarim. He has, I think, 3 svarim on the Mo'adim, and he has a very popular Haggadah. It's been translated into English. I think the other svarim as well has been translated into English. This is by I don't remember the name of the person. It's called Higyonei Halacha. It's a colorful. It's a nice. Has a cover. Has a certain. I can't remember the name of the mechaber. He says a very beautiful idea. He says, that's what I told you on Pesach. But the other idea is that Shavuos is the conclusion, it's a very popular idea. Shavuos, we all know, is the Atzeres of Pesach. Pesach, the tafkit of Yitzias Mitzrayim is, B'yitziach ha'sa'om in Mitzrayim, tafdun es ho'lokim alo horazeh. When Moshe came to, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruited Moshe to take out Bnei Yisrael, Moshe asked him, what's chus are they deserving to be redeemed? Hashem said, the chus is that when they will be redeemed, surely thereafter they will accept the Torah on Har Sinai. Matan Torah is the Atzeres, just like Shmini Atzeres is the Atzeres, is the ingathering. It is the conclusion, it wraps up Sukkos. Likewise, Shavuos, which is also called Atzeres, is the conclusion of the Yom Tov of Pesach. It is the purpose of Pesach. It is the conclusion. What carbon do we bring on Shavuos? We bring the Shtei Halechem. What is Shtei Halechem? It is the only communal carbon that is Chometz. So the Hegyon Halach explains that is the Chometz of the carbon Toida. The carbon toida of Yitzias Mitzrayim, this great event where we were spared from the Midbar and from the Yam and from the Cholim and from Beis HaSurim, requires a carbon toida. The carbon toida is broken up over Pesach and Shavuos. On Pesach we bring the Zevach, and our minog by the Seder we have 3 matzos. The 3 matzos are a mashal for the 3 types of bread that are 3 types of matzah, 30 loaves of bread, 3 different types of 30 different types of matzos, 3 different types of matzos which are brought as the carbon toida. The chometz part of the carbon toida is offered on Shavuos. So the carbon itself, see, when you look at it in that fashion, you see the entire package of how Pesach and Shavuos all come together in one group. And I'll give you another example of this idea. Now this is a fascinating idea. I never noticed this until I saw this yesterday in the Sefer, in the Yirmiyahu Halacha. He says, what do we do on Pesach? On Pesach, on the Haggadah, the bulk of the Haggadah is to darsh the psukim of Arami Oved Avi. When does one recite the psukim of Arami Oved Avi? Bikurim. It's the mitzvah of Bikurim. You come, the beginning of Parashas Kisavo, you come to Eretz of Lekachta, Merei Shis Kol Priho Adam, Asher Tavi, Mei Artzecha, Asher, Asher Lekecha Nosein, Loch V'samta, V'atene, and you bring Bikurim. And then it goes on, V'yonisa, V'yomarta, you will raise up your voice and you'll say, Arami Aviravi, V'yered Mitzrayma, V'yogosh Abim Seba, and you read through the entire Parsha. It is fascinating that this mitzvah of Bikurim is the mitzvah of Shavuos. Shavuot is called the Yom of Yom HaBikurim, V'avichem Esim Chadosh V'Hashem. Yet when do we dash the Psukim of Bikurim? We dash the Psukim of Bikurim, we're on Pesach. It's a synopsis of our entire history. And when do we expound upon these Psukim Pesach? But it's very interesting, there's one part of Arami Ovid Ovid that we leave out. We dash in every single part of Arami, look in the Haggadah, V'yanisov, V'yamarta, Pasekei, Pasuk Vav, the Agada goes word by word, Pasuk Zayin, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Elokei Avoseinu, Vayishma Hashem Eskoleinu, Pasuk Ches, Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, Pasuk Yud, Vayivienu, Pasuk Ches, the last Pasuk is, the last Pasuk in the Haggadah, Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, Biyot Chazaka, Uvizroi Nituya, Uvimor Gadol, Uvosos, Uvimovsim. Look at the Haggadah. Uvemor Gadol Zegil Shchina Kama Shenemar Oyhamis Olakim Vuchulu Vuchulu. And then Uviyot Chazaka Uvizroi Netui Uviosos Zehamate Kama Shenemar Vesamata Zedikach Biyadecha Asher Tasevo Eshosos Uvimovsim Zehadom Kama Shenemar Vesati Movsim Bashamayim Uvaretz. Finished. Then we go, Dom Bo'esh V'Simros Oshon. Wait a minute. There's one more Pasuk. There's one more Pasuk. The Pasuk, Vayivienu El Hamokoim Hazeh, Vayitim Lanu Es Oretz Hazos, Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash. What happened to that Pasuk? Why is that Pasuk left out of Arami Ovidov? The answer is, that is exactly what is the Yontif of Shavuos. The Yontif of Shavuos is the actual kiyum. It's the whole Yontif is the last pasuk of. We leave it out. There's more said many times than what you don't say. What you don't say speaks volumes. We read the entire parsha of Arami Avravi, and we leave out one pasuk. Why? Because that last pasuk is the pasuk that's miyuchid for Shavuos, the hashlama of the process of geula, where we actually bring after it represents the hevesi, yotzeis v'itzalti v'galti v'lokachti, represents hevesi, coming to Eretz Yisrael, and now you bring the first fruits, and we vayivienu el hamokoim hazeh v'itin lanu es eretz hazos, and therefore we can also say that's why we have a minog of cholof. Why are we obsessed with cholov, macholei cholov on the Yontif of Shavuos? Because we have to emphasize the last pasuk of the parasha of Bikurim. Eretz zavas cholov udevash. If we expound upon by the Seder, the time we eat all of the old pasuk, we do that. Shavuos is the gemara of Arami Avodavi, which focuses on zavas cholov udevash. Okay. Cholov is the grain. That's not the pasuk pshat. Zavas cholov udvash. The fatness. Okay. Zavas cholov udvash. That's fat. Chelov is fat. He's saying it refers to grain. He's saying right. He's saying it also refers to chelov chita aspiaka. The fat of the that's chelov. That's fat. Here it's cholov. It's milk. Okay. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let me discuss with you another idea. The minhag to eat basa b'cholof. There are encyclopedias, there are books that give over hundreds of reasons why there is a minhag to eat on Shavuos milk or macholi cholof. So I want to give you another reason. Lom d'shuiz. In Yoredeya there's a halacha. Let's discuss some of the rules of taruvis. If a person has a piece of meat, for argument's sake, and the piece of meat gets it's in a pot, and it spills on the piece of meat a small amount of chela, fat. So what's the rule? What is the halacha? The ikar hadin. You have a piece of meat, and non-kosher fat gets mixed into the gravy, into the piece of meat, and the piece of meat is cooked. So what's doing? Go to a rav, tell the rav, it was in a pot, and in my pot there was the meat, and there was some fat, non-kosher fat, it fell into the pot, and it all got mixed together, and it's all cooked together. Is my piece of meat is kosher or not? So the rav says, well, the first thing to ask is what are the numbers? Is there 60 times more meat than fat, the non-kosher fat? So the rule is, if there's 60 times more meat, kosher, than non-kosher gravy, it's bottle. It's not nice and tam. Minatoro, it's bottle, afilu in roivis bottle, but here we're dealing with something which is nice and tam, that's more problematic. any time we have 60 to 1, the flavor is bottled b'roif. Okay, no problem. It's kosher. The rabbi paskins kosher. Let's say it's not. Let's say the non-kosher fat is more than 60 times the meat. It's not bottle, and it's treif. Okay? So let's deal with that situation. There was 2 parts fat, 60 parts kosher meat. We don't have bittel. The piece of meat is treif. Very good. We put the piece of meat on the side. Someone who does not know what the situation is comes to the kitchen and takes this piece of meat and puts this piece of meat into a pot with another piece of meat. What's the now? And the two of them are cooked together. So what's the question? The question is, once this piece of meat is treif, because it only adds 60 parts to 2 parts, it was treif, and now this piece of meat gets mixed up with another piece of meat, and these 2 pieces of meat, it's one against one. One piece of meat is treif, and the other piece of meat is kosher. So it's one against one. There's nothing to talk about, seemingly, that this new mixture, mixture number 2, is treif. No. It's not treif, not Iker Hadin. Because how much of piece number 1 is really treif? Only 2 parts. The grand total is 62. 60 kosher, 2 parts, 60 parts kosher, 2 parts non-kosher. Being that we don't have 60 to 1, we have no choice but to decide that this piece of meat, which the grand total is now 62, is treif. But the truth is, the only part that's treif in this piece of meat is 2 parts. If this piece of meat, which now has 62 parts, gets mixed with another piece of meat, which has 60 parts, the grand total is 122 parts. From the 122 parts, how many are non-kosher? 2. So it's 120 up against 2. We now have bittul. So the halach is it's kosher. Me'ikar hadin. Okay, Mikar Hadin, let's review. We start over the piece of meat at 60. And in the piece of meat at 60, 2 parts of non-kosher are mixed. We have a grand total of 62. 60 is kosher, 2 is non-kosher. We don't have bittul. The entire mixture is treif. This mixture of 62 is treif. If this piece that's 62 gets mixed with another piece of meat, which also has 60 parts, and we now have a grand total of 122, so the rule, even though you are not allowed to mix these 2 pieces of meat together, but we're going in a situation where this happened by accident, since in total, if we really look at the whole big picture, the only part that's non-kosher is 2, verse 120, the rule is that this new mixture is kosher. Now, there is an exception to this rule. And that is when you're dealing with basar b'cholof, meat and milk. There is nothing non-kosher about milk. And there is nothing non-kosher about meat. Yet the Torah comes along and says that if you mix meat and milk together, it's treif. So it's an extreme chumrah that the Torah put upon us, taking 2 items that are kosher, mixing them together. The halacha is, if you have a piece of meat, 60 parts, and 2 parts milk, and they get mixed together, it's treif. They cook together, the entire mixture, 62, is treif. But the degree of non-kosher here is not that it's 60 parts kosher, 2 parts non-kosher. It's called in halacha, yardeh chaticha atzma nases neveila. It's as if the entire 62 is treif. That's the chumrah of basar b'cholof. If you now take this piece of meat, this which has 62 parts, 60 meat, 2 milk, and you mix it with another piece of meat which has 60 parts, and in total you have 122 parts, it's treif. Because we look at it as 60 up against 62. We don't apply this leniency and say, since in total we have 122 parts, and 2 parts are treif, and 120 are kosher, so now we can apply the rule of bittul. No. Once the first piece of meat has become non-kosher through the principle of basa b'cholof has a much more intense form the rule is much stricter. It's chaticha atzma nases nedela. It has been transformed into a new entity of an item that is prohibited, when it gets mixed with another piece of meat, it's 60 going up against 62, and there's nothing to talk about its treif. A human being is, person learns Torah. What is Shavuos? Shavuos from the Kabbalah of the Torah. No, we learn Torah. You don't learn the entire day. What do you do the entire day? You do other things. Work, relax, you eat, you drink, parnasa, sleep. A person has other activities. No, you also learn. So what is a person when the day is over? It's a teruvis. There are two parts, Torah, two parts, sleep, five parts, food. If you take your activities when the day is over, you write your diary, you record everything in the diary, what you've done, you can divide up your day, what you have absorbed. What is my day? What have I accomplished? What have I absorbed? I read a book, I read the newspaper, I went to work, I made a few dollars, I had a good meal, I had a conversation with my friend. Take all of the events in the day, put them in writing, and this is my day, all these different parts. How much of me is Torah? 10 parts, 3 parts, 5 parts, everyone is different, and the rest are other things, important things. Taruvis. A person's a taruvis. Shavuos, the minhag is to focus on milk. What is a person? Chazal, Torah is a basar v'dam. A person is a shtik basar. He's a shtik. What is Torah? Torah is cholov. When cholov gets mixed with basar, it's not just pshat, that it's a taruvis. It's 60 parts this and 2 parts this. When you mix basar with cholov, chaticha atzma nases neveila. The piece of meat has been completely transformed into a new entity. It's not a taruvis. The whole piece of meat is now a new entity. When this piece of meat, which is a new entity, now gets mixed with something else, you're not matching up the part in the piece of meat that is cholov, that is non-kosher, with a whole new mixture. The whole piece of meat is a new entity. That is what Shavuos is all about. It's the idea is the minhag is you call of milk. Why milk? Because when you take milk into yourself, we're a basar v'dam. The milk, dvash v'cholav tachas lishani. The Torah is compared in Mishlei to milk. Dvash v'cholav tachas lishani. Eretz zavas cholav v'dvash. Eretz Yisrael is called milk. Torah is called milk. When you take Torah into yourself, into a yishtik, you are transforming yourself into a new person. It's not that you have a little Torah and a little dvar, telim, dvar, derecheretz, and parnasa. You're a completely different entity. Okay, so that is another idea I wanted to bring out. Now let's go to another idea, the idea of Rus. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't want to talk about you. But when you said with the mixture of an unkosher fat that goes into a kosher meat, and the mixture is greater than 1 in 60, so it's 2 to 60, and it gets mixed with a kosher piece of meat.
Yes.
So it's one to one, so to speak.
Correct.
Then it becomes 1:22.
Wait, which case? Milk. That's the difference between
fat.
Milk. The difference between milk and meat
not
and non-kosher.
I'm talking about the fat. It's only when it's not through a kavana that they become mixed together. You can't just add kosher to it.
You're not allowed to abuse the halacha. You're not allowed to deliberately, you're not allowed to make something something that's non-kosher, to make a kosher by deliberately being mevatel in something that's mutter. It's only when it was an accident. But the principle applies. The concept is that when you have non-kosher fat that gets mixed with meat, we don't view the non-kosher fat to change the identity, the essence of the item, that the other item. There's a taruvis, it's a mixture. But when it comes to milk, milk has the unusual property that's able to transform the piece of meat into an entire new entity. Chaticha atzma nases nevela. Torah is called cholof. A human being is a basar v'dam. is basar. When you bring Torah within yourself, the purpose of is to transform yourself into a new person. Not just that, like everything else in life. I do this, I do this, I do this. I'm not defined by my actions. You are defined by Torah. When you learn Torah, when you absorb the lessons of Torah, you have transformed yourself into an entirely new entity. And now you don't view yourself as a Talmud with multiple different facets. You're a new person.
That's you eat differently, you sleep differently.
Exactly.
Differently.
Everything is differently. You're an entirely new entity. That's the idea of what the koyach of cholov. Dvash v'cholov tachas lishni. Okay, now I want to go to another idea. This idea, let's discuss Rus. We have a minute to learn Rus on Shuas. There are so many reasons why we learn. The simplest reason, because Rus is miyaches, the of David. David Melech was born. We have a tradition that he died, and he was born on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So we learn, since the Sefer Rus is miyaches, the yichus of where David Melech comes from, Rus Hamoviah. So we are miyaches, we read Rus on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Malchus of David. Okay, that's the simple reason. But I want to just focus on another idea. What is the major theme of Rus? The major theme of Rus, to a certain degree, is Yibum. Now, it's not a halachic Yibum. We know that when Rus comes back to Beis Lechem Yehuda, there's a goyal, there is an obligation, it's last week's parasha, there's an obligation for the closest of kin to redeem the property of a relative. The person has property, and due to a person's state of poverty, he is forced to sell his property to a person that's not part of his family. There is an obligation for the close relative at some point in time to come and redeem the person's property to bring it back into his estate. We don't want that. When the person dies, it should go b'yichus, it should go b'yirusha to another line. A person's property represents what he was given when he came into Eretz Yisrael, his portion of Eretz Yisrael. It should return to the rightful owner. A relative has an obligation. Not only does a relative have the obligation to return to restore land, there's also an obligation of yibum, that we know the halacha of a person, if a person dies, does not have children, leaves over an almana, the brother in the Torah is required to marry the entire Masech Yevamos, the brother is obligated to marry the widow and to have a child. And the child will carry, now that's a really little bit of a Kabbalistic Indian, but the child will carry the name. Oh, that's not the Pshut Shal Mikra. That's not the way the Hoya HaBachar refers to the one who has the obligation to do Yibam when there are multiple brothers, Hoya HaBachar. But the Darshanim explained that the essence of Yibam is to, a person has an obligation to restore the name of a person that's seemingly lost from the Jewish people. A person dies without children. He has no children. He's lost. He has no legacy. The closest relative has an obligation to restore his legacy, to marry his widow, to have children, and those children will carry on the name of the person who has died. And that is really what's happening here in Rus. What's happening here in Rus, in Sefer Rus, is Boaz. Now let me take a step back. In ancient times, before Matan Torah, who had the mitzvah of Yibum? It was not necessarily the brother. After the Torah was given, the one who has the mitzvah of Yibum is the brother. But before Matan Torah, the one that had the mitzvah of Yibum could be any relative. And that we learn from Tamar. Tamar, Yehuda, to a certain degree, the father-in-law, even the father-in-law of an almana, had the ability to marry, to perform the mitzvah of Yibam, to carry on the legacy of a person who has died. It's not necessarily only the brother, it can really be any relative. Okay, but that was before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah was given over specifically to the brother. But we have that theme in Sefer Rus, not a halachic Yibam, but a conceptual Yibam, where Rus comes back and Boaz says, I will marry you, but I'm not the closest relative. There is a Goel. There is a person, Ploini Almoini, he is the person that really has the right to marry you and to redeem your land, and do so on and so forth. The person that will redeem the land is also going to be the person that's going to marry you, to take you in marriage, to preserve the legacy of the person that has died. And I'm not the close of, not the close of kin, there's someone else. If he will not want to do this, then I will take his place, I will step in. I'm also a relative, I'm not the closest relative, but I'm willing to do and to redeem the land, and to marry you and perpetuate your yichus of your family. And so it happens, and so it is. Ploni Almoni refuses to step in, to be the goyel, both in the land, the property, and the marriage, because he's afraid that the yichus is not 100%, because people will complain that lo yovei amoni moiv v'kal Hashem, he did not, was not yet fully accepted at this point in time, the halacha that amoini v'lo yamoinis moiv v'lo moivis was not fully accepted in Klal Yisrael at this point in time. It was a risk, it was questionable if this would be accepted in the future generations, la halacha. He did not want to take that risk, so Boaz stepped in and he was the goyel. What is the essence of Yibum? So I once heard a very nice idea. The whole essence of Yibum is to rebuild. What is Yibum? Person dies. It's a terrible churban. Every person is an oilam katam, is a full world. Person dies. The world is over. A whole world has come to an end. There are no children, no descendants, no one to carry on his name, there's no legacy. It's a churban. The Torah says someone should step in and rebuild that world. It's a churban. But you have to rise up from churban. Reconstruct a broken world. That's what it's all about, Yibum. This is, in essence, the theme of Sefer Rus. It's the entire process, the churban of Rus, of with Naomi, Elimelech, Kilyon. There's a churban here. And the whole story where she goes like a beggar to the field and Moab finds Boaz, so on and so on, until finally the end is Boaz marries her. She has children. And from that comes David. A world that was destroyed was miraculously rebuilt. That really captures the Sefer of Rus from the beginning to the end. The whole concept of Yibum. What is Matan Torah? Matan Torah, in essence, is the same exact thing. It's the rebuilding of a destroyed world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. He gave him a mitzvah. He put him in Gan Eden. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. He gave him a Torah. He gave him a very sure Torah. Here's the mitzvah. Just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas and you'll be fine. One mitzvah. Blew it. From that one mitzvah came death, came churban. The oilam was choraf. It took a very long time to rebuild that world. And finally, with Matan Torah, where the Shemayim the heavens were open, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai and gave Klal Yisrael, selected a group of people in this world, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and his descendants, the Shvatim, and Klal Yisrael, 600,000 people, to rebuild the world. Poska Zuhamosan, death came to an end. If not for the Cheder Egel, Chazal say, if not for the Cheder Egel, there wouldn't have been death. The whole Aseres Hadibros, I think Rav Huna writes something like this, it's the second version of man. The first version of man was Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was Choraf. He destroyed himself. Matan Torah was man version 2. It's the rebuilding of the world. And I think this idea, I mean, that's really what it's, that this idea perfectly fits the parallel of Rus. The essence of Rus is Yibum. Matan Torah, in the big picture of things, is Yibum, the rebuilding of the world. And that's why these two ideas go together hand in hand. Okay, those are my three ideas for today. And we'll stop with this.
I've seen in the Maral, Avraham Avinu represents the new edition of man.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So yesh v'yesh. Yeah, okay, the different layers of new editions.
He discovered the Torah.